Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners, to another week, another episode, and another individual coming on and telling their story. So on Raw Thoughts podcast, I just bring individuals on and we just hear where they've been, where they're going, and where they are at right now. If you would like to come on to the podcast, I encourage you to reach out at rawthoughtspodcast.com. You can find all of the new episodes. You can reach out to me, give me any feedback, any kind of aha moments, or want to connect further with the individuals that have came on and shared their stories with me. So today I have Katie, a phenomenal mom who just loves sharing the raw motherhood on social media.
Yeah.
So welcome. Thank Tell us you. About yourself.
I'm Katie. I have four kids, ages 7, 5, 4, and 2. So they're all really close together. So it's a madhouse at our house, but I love it. And I just, I don't know. I thought growing up, I had this idea of what motherhood was going to look like. I think we all do. Like, oh, it's going to look like this. And I'm going to parent this way and my kids are going to be like this. And I'm going to have this like perfect, ideal, life. It's going to be Pinterest all the time. I'm going to have the most beautiful house. And then I actually had kids and I'm like, oh, it is not that way. That's not how it is. But I never saw people like talking about that. Like I never saw people talking about like how actually hard it is like to breastfeed or to, like actually have children and to parent in today's world, because it was still just very much like the beautiful white homes and matching outfits and like doing all of these things that I never felt like I could keep up. But I'm also like, I'm not that way. My house is a disaster 90% of the time. And my kids hate to wear clothes. So we never match. And, and all of these things. But I just never saw moms talking about that. I never saw moms talking about all of it. It was always just this beautiful highlight reel, which I think is great. I think it's a really encouraging. But at the same time, it can be really defeating as a parent to constantly see just the beautiful things when you're living in this place of survival. You're constantly in survival mode as a parent. And I never really ever saw myself on social media and really felt alone as a mom and just wanted to start sharing like all of it, the realness, my dirty house, like what it's like, especially with four kids. And it's just kind of grown from there. And it's really beautiful and hard, but I think it just, especially now, it gives moms the courage to like be themselves and not feel like they have to compare or meet some like ridiculous societal expectation that is put on us like the minute we are given a child. It's like, okay, here's what's expected of you also as a human and now as a parent and a wife and all of these things. It's like, whoa, okay, sure. This is great. I love it.
Yeah. It's a lot to handle. I mean, I don't have kids. Yeah. I'm an aunt, right?
I love it.
But even just the amount of people that I've talked with recently, actually, I'm like, I love being an aunt because I can love on them and then I can send them back.
Yep, exactly.
It's like it gives you enough of a break from them. But yes, then at the same time, it gives me, being able to step in how I need to into
Absolutely.
Their lives.
Yeah. And we've been on this journey for the last year. Three out of my four kids are actually special needs. I have two that are autistic and I have one who has epilepsy. So that in of itself, in addition to just being a parent, has been like so eye-opening and just brings a whole other like perspective. I think being a parent is hard, and then you add additional challenges that your children have and that you put on yourself, because you then start to go down this spiral of like, you start to miss things and you look at other people, and then that comparison comes in, even though you're just trying to do your very best. You kind of just want this normal life. And then you add having a child who has, some pretty severe special needs, and you're just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to add on to this. So it's been a really interesting to kind of have now this perspective of like, okay, like I have three special needs children. And I'm going to talk about that too, because it's also really effing hard. And I want to give moms the space to like embrace that hard, and that like it is, you know, let's find ways to just talk about it and not suppress our feelings. And let's like go with the ebbs and flows instead of just, you know.
And also talking about the hard things and not making it feel like everything's perfect, because it's not. You know, I think there's a lot of people, especially on social media, where it's like, oh, my life is perfect. And this is, you know, we have these great Halloween parties, or we have these great Christmas parties. And it's like, all right, well, how do you have somebody that you've hired because you have the money to do that?
Exactly.
You know, like, how are you actually functioning?
You probably have a sitter and a nanny, and you have someone who comes to clean your house once a week, like, which is great. And I hope one day to eventually have those things, because I know sometimes those do make your life easier as a parent. Like, if I can delegate something, I'm going to. Like, I don't want to clean my house. If I can avoid it at all possible costs, I will. So if I can have someone who enjoys doing that, it's giving them a job and it's allowing me to do something else and with my kids, great. But I think making that as a constant, like something that we have to reach or be, or this is, you know, kind of you've made it motherhood moment, I'm like, that just makes me feel so yucky inside, because I'm like, in reality, like, that's just not how it is. Like, yeah. It's not the reality for 99% of the moms, but that's what we see. We see the bloggers and the, you know, those influencers and the Pinterest moms. And I'm like, for the longest time, like, I would follow all of them, and then I'm like, I just have to unfollow. Like, I can't have that energy, because I know how it affects me as a parent. I know how it affects me as a person. When I'm seeing these people, I'm like, I just don't feel good. I don't feel good watching you, because I know, like, you're probably struggling too, but maybe you just don't have the courage to, like, say it out loud, which is totally okay. I know not everybody, you know, has the courage to be vocal about how they're really feeling. But I just hope to give moms the courage to do that and to be open and be like, you know, because for me growing up in my generation, like, you did not talk about your feelings. Like, you didn't really share how you were feeling. You kind of were just, you shoved it all down deep inside and you figured it out and you kind of just went on your merry way. And then you become an adult and you're like, oh, wow. Like, there is all of this stuff now coming up as a parent. And I hope that I can make a change for the coming generation. And it's opening too, because there'll be times where, you know, my daughter's like, are you okay, mom? And yeah, for the longest time, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, you know, whatever. Mommy's fine. Mommy's fine. Mommy's always fine. But I had this aha moment about a year ago. I was really struggling and I was like, you know what? No, like, mom is not okay right now. It has nothing to do with you. You are not the problem, but mommy is definitely not okay. And I think for her to hear that, like, I'm not, like, this perfect human being, I'm trying my very best here, but, like, mom makes mistakes. Mom has feelings. Mommy is struggling. Mommy is going to have all of these hard times. I think it allows then my children to then see and know that their feelings are validated too.
Yeah.
That, like, we're not going to suppress their feelings too, because what good is that going to do them as they grow up, especially, you know, who knows what the world is going to look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Like, I want my daughters, especially, I have two girls and two boys. Like, I want my daughters in particular to be like, nope, I am definitely not okay. Here is what I need. Here's what I need to do in order to, like, make it me be okay. Like, I want them to recognize and have those skills in their hands. And it's going to take practice. It's going to take probably their entire life as they grow and learn how to do that. But giving them the tools now while they're young, my oldest is 7, giving her those tools to recognize that, like, oh, mommy can say that she's not okay, I cannot be okay too. Yeah. I can recognize the feelings. I can listen to my body. And then I can work on things to eventually make that change in the generations to come.
And especially just opening up and saying, you know, I think this is for any human being. It doesn't matter, racial, sex, nothing. To be able to be okay with yourself enough.
Yeah.
To be like, no, actually, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
But these are the things that I need.
Yes.
And not just saying like, I give up. It's not saying that like, I'm not okay and I don't know what to do. It's saying, I'm not okay, but this is what I need.
Absolutely.
For me, this is what I need.
Yes.
And I think that comes with a lot of self-recognition.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary.
Which is very scary. You have to sit with yourself. You have to figure yourself out. But it's also a lot of trial and error.
Totally.
You know, some people are like, hey, I can go to yoga and I can decompress that way. Some people are like, no, I need to be in nature and I don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
Some people are journalers. But it's the task that you're trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And then when you're like, oh, this made me feel a lot better.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do that next time. The first thing that I go to, and that's my first tool versus having to do 10 different things to then figure that out.
And it's really like you're learning about yourself all over again. Like, I'm learning, like, to recognize, like, cues and triggers, because I'm like, okay, like, why is my daughter doing that? Like, why is that triggering? Why is that so triggering for me? Oh, because she and I are, like, identical. She's a literal miniature version of myself. But I didn't get that need met when I was a child. So it's literally mini-me inside screaming, like, oh, okay, how can I now help her in the way that I wish I would have been helped as a child? Like, and it's so much going inside and, like, you know, internal therapy and, like, recognizing, like, okay, this is a trigger. They're triggering me in this way. How can I be better? And also recognizing that, like, you're not going to be perfect the first time. You're probably going to lose your crap multiple times, because not only are you fixing yourself and you're trying to help your parent or your child. And so it's going to be this constant ebb and flow. And I always hate the word balance. Like, oh, just find the balance. It's going to be okay. It's going to balance it out. And I'm like, no, because that still means that there's like perfection somewhere. It still means that like everything is going to equal out, but that's not the case, especially like when you're an adult. Like, nothing is ever going to be balanced, but I like to think of it as like a seesaw, or like ebb and flow, and recognizing that like sometimes you're going to be freaking killing it and you're going to feel super great. So like, honor and recognize those times when you're killing it and you're like, okay, like, what is making this great? What am I killing it in? Like, why is it all of a sudden so great? And then in the down, recognize being like, okay, like, what's happening here? How can we make it, you know, tolerable, survivable here until we get up again? And it's going to be this constant ebb and flow, recognizing like, what's a priority? What's not? What can you drop? I think as a mom, we feel like we have to juggle literally everything. That like everything is made a priority. I heard this analogy once and it has always stuck with me, is that as moms especially, like, it's like we're juggling glass balls. And that like everything is a priority and we have to keep all of the balls afloat, because if they drop, then our world is going to shatter and everything is just going to fall apart. When in reality, 99% of the balls are plastic. And if they drop, it's really okay.
Yeah.
And that recognizing that like, and it, every day, each ball, each priority is going to be a little bit different, because I know for me, and especially our schedule and my special needs kids, like every day is different. Like, no day is the same. One day my child's going to be great. The next day he's going to wake up like from another dimension. Like, you never know what day, you never know what version of your child you're going to get that day. And so you have to just kind of recognize and be like, you know what? I can drop these balls today. I can pick them up tomorrow if I need to, or I can delegate them to my husband, or I can break down that barrier and truly ask for help and know that that doesn't make me less of a mom. It doesn't make me less of a person. I think it actually makes you really brave to ask for help and to recognize that, like, I cannot do it all and I cannot do it alone. Like, why should we be expected to do it all anyways? Like, I think that's just kind of silly to be expected to literally carry the weight of the world, like, as a mom. But that's what we do and we just do it. And but then I feel like for me, like, I wind up resenting my kids. I wind up like feeling like I'm resenting my husband. Like, why did I even have these kids? Why am I a mom? Like, why? I didn't want this life. Like, I didn't want this. But in reality, it's like I'm literally carrying everything. And I can drop all of this and be like, you know what? I'm going to make these three things my priority today. And even if I got a couple of them done, win for me, clap, everybody is alive, and we can start again tomorrow. But we just carry so much. It's like, what can you drop? What can you let go of that you're making a priority when in reality, like, it's really okay to let that go?
And I think it's definitely what we make priorities, mm-hmm. or what our expectations are for ourselves.
Totally.
And realizing, you know, so many people say like, oh, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to help you. We even say that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to say like, oh, I'm willing to help you. But
totally.
Like, how can we help ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, how can we be the first person to be like, how can I help you? Like, what do I need? Like, almost having that inner dialogue.
Totally.
Within it. I do think you talking about being the person that you needed when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, I think, are like, well, I didn't have this and I didn't have that and I didn't have this. And it's like, well, are you being that person for other people?
Yep.
Because that's probably what other children need. You
Absolutely.
Know? Be the adult that you wish the younger self could have.
Yes.
Because the reality and the likelihood that some child needs that same thing is mm-hmm. very high.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting. I look at my children now, and I never want to put a label on like how I parent or a certain type of parenting. I'm like, I want to parent my children in the ways that they need it. And like, how would I, you know, wish I would have approached the situation? What do I need here? Like, I think it's taking off like our ego, our pride, our, you know, kind of taking off like ourselves and like just honestly like getting down and kind of like being a kid again and looking at your child in that way, looking at like how truly small they are. Like, they're, my children are tiny. I have very tiny humans, but us as adult, we see them like adults because that's what we are. We're adults. And so we kind of view the world that way because that's what we're surrounded by. But taking off kind of those glasses and those blinders and being like, oh my gosh, like, they're just children. They're just little tiny humans who are also trying to figure out, like, my 4-year-old, my autistic son, like, he has got like some major big feelings in his body and he can't express those. He doesn't know how to regulate his body. And then if you think about you as an adult, like, do you know how to regulate your body? Like, do you know like how to keep your emotions in check? And yet we get frustrated at our children for doing that. But like, do you know how to do that? Do you know, like, are you doing that too? And it's just kind of like having that perspective as an adult. It's like, like, it's this huge light bulb moment. It's like, I don't even do that. I don't even do that as an adult. So why should I like expect my children right off the bat to be able to do that? No, but I wasn't taught how to do that. I wasn't taught to recognize, oh, this is what anxiety feels like in my body. My heart races. I sweat profusely and I like want to vomit. Like, that's what anxiety feels like in my body. But no one ever taught me what that was. Like, everyone's like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. And I'm like, but there's something wrong inside. But I never was taught what that was. So then looking at my children and being like, okay, let's peel back the layers. Let's be like Shrek and be like, okay, let's talk about this a little bit until we get to the root of the problem. We started doing this with my daughter, because she will just spiral like crazy. She'll kind of get in like this thought process and she'll just go down and down and down. She's very high functioning autistic. And so she's very smart. And so it's like, okay, let's spiral you down. And a lot of times if we talk to her, I'll, you know, we'll have like this really calm conversation. Then she'll be like, gosh, mom, I'm really hungry. And I'm like, ding, 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 there's the problem. Like, you were truly just hungry, but it created like this huge tornado and everything went out of, you know, proportion. And I think we do that as adults. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I haven't had anything to eat today. That is why I am snapping at everybody. So I'm like, truly, like deep down, if we look at it, like we're all really the same.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, we don't maybe want to admit that as ourselves, that like we're all really kind of just like children. We're all really just figuring it out. So getting down on their level a lot of the times just is like kind of this aha moment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we look to adults and we're like, oh, you have it figured out, right? Yeah. Like, especially when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, when I'm 30, I'm going to have this, this, and this. Yes. And now I'm 30, I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's not what I thought, yes. You know, because we're all just trying to figure out our lives, you know, and nobody, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter, we're all humans.
Yeah.
And shit happens.
Totally.
And we all have different perspectives and we all have different variables and we all have so many things impacting us. Mm-hmm. But when we really look at the human needs, mm-hmm. they're pretty simple.
Yes.
They're pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, how many times are you like, oh, she's hangry? You know, it's like, all right, that's probably why you were being a bitch. And that's probably why you were snapping at people. Yeah. It's like, take that little bit of a step when you can recognize that within yourself.
Yes.
You know, like, no, I'm not perfect, but when I try, I'm like, ooh, like that wasn't, that probably wasn't very nice that I said that or how I said it.
Exactly. And I've recognized as an adult too, like I was a pretty like extroverted person growing up. And now I'm like, I'm actually pretty introverted and I get overstimulated by people a lot. And I'm like, I don't really like this. I don't really want to be around people. I don't really want to. So like recognizing being like, oh my gosh, I am so overstimulated. I literally just need to be alone for 15 minutes. I'm going to lock my door and I just need to sit in silence. Like, or I'll go for a drive. I'll tell my husband, I'm like, I'm going to go get groceries. I'll be back soon.
no time limit.
Yeah. But a lot of the times I'm like, I just need to be alone. But I think us as moms, we feel guilty for doing that. There's this guilt and shame that comes because you have to be like at your kids' beck and call all day, every day. You have to constantly be meeting the needs of everybody else's. But if you're not meeting your needs, if you are not taking care of yourself as a parent, then what do you have to give to your kids? And I remember, I think it was after my third, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like I would look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't recognize who I am anymore because I had literally given my body and everything to my children and just constantly being there and present, which is great. But I felt like a shell of a person. And so it was finally that realization of like, I don't even know what does Katie like? What does Katie do? I don't even know what my favorite color is anymore. Like, I don't know what I like. I don't know who I am because I'm not lost in motherhood, but I think my identity changed. And taking off that mom hat is very hard to do. And it feels like this scary thing to be like, okay, well, then what? Like, what is left after you take off that mom hat, after you kind of step away for a minute and be like, who is this person under this mom hat? Because I think she is still very much important and still very much needs to be there and still very much needs to have a prominent role in your life. Or because then when your kids eventually grow up and leave, then I don't want to find myself again at like 50 or 60. Like, I want to know who I am. And I want to be able to also show my kids while they're growing up that like, mom has dreams. Mom has passions. Mom has things that she wants to do outside of being a mom. And I want to show my kids that and be like, motherhood is great, but it's not the end all be all. It's not absolutely everything, because you're going to grow up and you're going to go have lives of your own. And I don't want to be there with my husband and being like, okay, so, you know, like twiddling my thumbs. No, like I want to know who I am as I'm raising my children instead of waiting 20 years to then figure it out.
Right. The people that encompass their entire lives for labels, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're a mom, you're also a wife, you're right. also, you know, X, Y, Z. Like mm-hmm. you put these labels on it, but then at the end of the day, it's like, but who are you?
Yes.
You know, like what were the steps that brought you to who you are? And like, same thing about this podcast is like, well, where are you going? Like
yeah.
you can't, like I said, I do not have my own kids, but this is just my hope for myself is that like, right, like bring them along and show them how you're enjoying life yeah. and like what you need to be doing. And not that the only thing I am is a mom.
Yeah. And I found for me, like I had someone ask me like, what makes it a good day? Like when you get done at the end of the day, like what made it a great day? And a lot of it's like, I'm either getting out of the house, I'm doing something for me, for my business, for, it has nothing to do with my kids. It has nothing to do with being a wife or a mother. I'm literally like just doing what I love to do in conjunction. It's not but or, you know, whatever. It's this and this. We're going to erase the but or we're going to erase the like if or whatever. No, it's I'm a mom and I'm Katie. I'm a mom and I'm doing all of these things. I'm a business owner. I have all of these other things. And I think that makes it important too. It's like, oh, I'm just a mom. Like, oh, I'm just this or, you know, this, but I can't. No, you can do it. You can do and be all of those things. But again, it's your priority. Like if fully embracing your, you know, into motherhood, that's so great. And that is so your journey. And I'm so proud of you. For me, I know that I enjoy being a mom the most when I'm able to step away for a little bit. And I think like my kids appreciate that too, because I get out of the house and I come back and they're like, mom's back. And it's like, I am actually appreciated. And like, I actually feel, you know, it just makes you feel good when you can kind of just step away for a little bit. Because I think when you're in the four walls of your home all the time, it's really easy to feel invisible and to feel invaluable, like you're doing the same things over and over and over every single day. But like, even if you can just remove yourself for just a little bit, like I go on a girls trip once a year. It's non-conditional. My husband knows I go on this girls trip every year, and it makes just it's and I know that's not for everybody, but for me, it's a game changer because I get to go be with my girlfriends. I get to go be away. And then I think it also like it just brings another dynamic into our family. My husband gets to, you know, kind of step up and he gets to be dad and they get extra dad time and mom gets to go fill up her cup and I get to come back. And it's just it's a nice change of pace when you can step out for just a little bit and like remember like, yes, you can kind of just get that glimpse of, oh, yeah, this is me. This is what I actually really enjoy doing.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit, you know, I have this connection with like with a boyfriend, right? Like mm-hmm. when they're gone, you're like, actually get away so that I can miss you.
Yes.
Instead of just being there the entire time.
Yes.
You know, I could envision that being the same thing where it's like, no, you want to feel missed. Like you want
Absolutely.
To feel needed. You want to feel validated of being around them instead of take it for granted.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, oh, mom's here every single day. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the other thing too for you especially, like you had said, like it may not be for everybody
yeah.
that they go and do that, but figure out what you need.
Yes.
And the only person that can figure that out is yourself.
No, you can't ask anybody like what to do. You can't ask. No, you've got to figure it out, which is really hard. And it might take some time.
Yeah.
But I think the act of recognizing that like there is something else or that like you do need something else. And it doesn't have to be this grand thing. Sometimes it is 15 minutes in the car. Sometimes it is sitting down and reading a book where you're just able to like escape from your world for a little bit. It can be super silly. Maybe it's having like a dance party. Like I know dance parties are like happening at our house because it breaks the energy. Because I feel like a lot of times in our home, like the energy is stagnant. But as moms, you are also the energy of your home. Like your home is going to pick up your vibe. And so you being able to like bring the energy, whatever it may be, because you're figuring out yourself, like you'll recognize the change in your home. And like the last few years, I've been able to recognize that change in our home. Like as I continue to like work on myself, it's just like, okay. And then I am able to delegate. I'm able to express to my husband, like, I need you to do bedtime tonight. This is going to be your thing. I can't, because I know if I continue to stay in this, it's not going to end well. And that was a huge turning point in our marriage when I was finally able to like not be passive about how I really felt, especially with my husband, because I'm like, oh, I'm like, you know, he's my husband. Like, he should know. No, he doesn't know. He hasn't got a freaking clue. He has no idea. But if I can be truly just open and being like, I'm really struggling. This is what I'm struggling with. I need you to take over. A lot of the time, my husband's like, okay, fine, great. I'm happy to do that. But if I'm kind of passive and then the night ends in a disaster, then I'm like, cool. Like, I'm just going to be open and honest with how I'm feeling with like my kids and my family, because then I don't, then it doesn't end in like a huge dumpster fire.
How long have you and your husband been married for?
It'll be 9 years in April.
So you guys were together for how long before you actually had
kids? We've known each other for, it'll be a total of 15 years. So we've known each other like all through like high school, and then like through all college, and then so we've known each other for a really long time, and we're very similar, which is good and not good too.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not only that you're a mother, but you're also still a wife.
Yeah,
you know, and you have your wife duties at the same time.
Yes.
And that relationship that you have,
yeah,
between you and him, to make sure that your children that you had together,
exactly,
are getting their needs met. Yes. As well.
And my husband doesn't babysit like that. I have never asked my husband to babysit. Like, no, he's gonna be a dad. Like, my husband's a dad and he has a role in our family and he loves it. Like, he is the fun parent. Like, he gets down and wrestles and he is very like engaged in our children's lives. And I think that is huge. I didn't have that growing up. And so for my kids to be able to have a dad who will, you know, he is basically like my fifth child in a lot of ways. But it's nice because that, again, like that, it takes the pressure off of me. And especially when you have special needs kids, like that extra mental load that you carry as a special needs parent, like I definitely could not do that alone. To be able to have like a partner and a community who knows my kids and who knows my family and who's able to love on them and to recognize them and to help when we need it. Like, I think that is so incredibly huge. Like, and I know like the pandemic didn't help in creating communities, especially as parents, because my two youngest, like, they have no idea what play dates are. You know, creating that community with other moms and women is really hard. But at the same time, like, even if you have a virtual village, I think having people who know and understand and can have that relatability moment with you as a parent, it makes motherhood feel a little less lonely. Because motherhood is lonely. You don't realize, like, once you have this baby, you're kind of home a lot. And you don't really see people. And that's really hard. I don't think we talk about that enough as a parent, that it can be incredibly lonely. And your body has completely changed. And you're dealing with so much at once. And they're just like, here you go, figure it out. And you're like, I've never done this before. I have no idea how to take care of a human. Mm-hmm. Like, they are solely dependent on you. And you're figuring out your shit and you're like, this is so great. And it's again that where like everyone, like as when I was a new mom, like everyone was like sharing the beautiful nurseries and they had all of this stuff. And I'm like, none of my kids, I have four kids, not a single one of them has ever had a nursery that has ever looked like that on Pinterest. My 2-year-old right now currently sleeps in our closet. because it's big enough to house her crib. Like, that is where she sleeps. Because, like, we've been poor. Like, we've been a young, you know, family. Like, we couldn't afford, like, this beautiful, like, Pinterest-looking nursery. I'm like, plus, they're a baby, and they don't really need a really beautiful nursery, in my opinion. Like, yeah. I think that's just a huge waste of money, in my opinion. I'd rather, you know, spend it on other things. But I think, again, that was the expectation in my generation growing up. You saw all these beautiful nurseries and all of these beautiful things, and I'm like, no, I don't have any of that. But that doesn't make me less of a mom. Right. That doesn't make me any less of, you know, me doing as good of a job as I can, keeping my kids alive and surviving this current, you know, phase in motherhood. Like, it doesn't make me any less than, but it's so easy to get to that place.
And I think you had said it earlier, like, it does take a lot of courage to showcase what your life looks like.
Yeah.
If it's different than what everybody else's life looks like, it's super easy to post and be like, oh yeah, here's my fancy dancy, mm-hmm. you know, nursery or bedroom or house or car, whatever yeah. it may be. But when yours looks different than that, it's like you said, well, I'm not less than them.
Yeah.
This is just the situation that I'm in. And this Absolutely. Is how I'm doing the best to be in this situation.
Yes. But it's so easy to just... And that's one of the reasons why I started sharing and talking about the things that I did, because I'm like, there have to be other moms who feel this way. Like, I can't be the only one who is, like, seriously struggling with mom guilt and mom shame and this huge comparison trap, because I would constantly feel like I wasn't doing enough, that I wasn't, like, doing all of the things, that I couldn't keep up, because I would, again, just start this huge cycle. But in reality, like, my kids are healthy and they are safe and they are happy and they are thriving right now. And I think that's really all that matters, is that, like, they have a roof over their heads, they have food, you know, they get to go to school, they have friends, we're getting to that place. And, like, if you really break it down, like, isn't that, like, what's most important? Like, isn't that what we should be, like, striving to, like, give our kids, is, like, these, you know, I think it's the small things. Like, we want it to be the big things, and the big things are really great. Like, you know, like, the fun trips and, like, the really, you know, really amazing adventures. But I'm like, I want to remember, like, the dance parties, like, at our house. I want to, like, my daughter calls them special dinners, but they're just basically, like, charcuterie boards. But, like, my daughter loves that. And she's like, Mom, can we do special dinners? Like, it's stuff like that. Like, that I'm like, I just want to, like, picture this. Like, this is what it is. It's all of these small moments, like, in our home that, like, we can remember. And it's also, like, the really hard things. And it's also, like, patting myself on the back of, like, I did not lose my shit today on my kids. Like, celebrating the small wins as a parent, no matter, like, what it is. You kept your kids alive. That's amazing. Like, celebrate all of it. And, like, but, like, also give yourself grace, like, when it is hard. Like, when my son is having, like, a huge meltdown in Target because he can't lick the floor. Like, he's so sensory seeking. Like, he wants to lick and touch all of the things. And I'm like, ugh, you know? And so, but it's celebrating all of it. And not just the big things, and recognizing that actually all of those small things are going to make it to the big things. Because I think we miss out on a lot of the small stuff, which is why, like, I always have my phone out. Because I'm like, I just want to capture this. Like, I want to live in this moment just a little bit longer, because I know it's going to be so fleeting. And tomorrow, it's a completely new day. And it's going to be totally different. Like, I want to live in these small moments, because a lot of the times we're just wishing and waiting for it to get better. We're just wishing and waiting for it, something else to come, when it's right here. It's yeah. right here.
I think it's definitely the perspective that you have on it, right? Of yeah. like, today was a huge win, mm-hmm. and it was because, like you said, you kept your kids alive.
Nah.
Like, if we can, that gratitude piece, mm-hmm. of, like, wow, I got to wake up and I got to have coffee today. And my child didn't have a meltdown until 3 because yesterday was at 10. Yes. Like,
yeah.
How exciting that those tiny little things, because then you can start finding more of them.
Absolutely.
And I think that is where, instead of waiting for this big, extravagant thing that's probably going to last like 10 seconds, yes. like, how about you start finding the little things that can yes. happen more consistently,
yes.
more readily, like, and be, I think, present.
Absolutely.
Is the word within yeah. those. And it's like, you know what? If those special dinners is what makes your daughter so happy mm-hmm. and she gets to ask about them, like, yes. how fun.
Oh, it's so great. And she looks forward, like, and we don't do them very often. And so when we do them, it's like a big deal. We put like a blanket out and the kids usually get to watch a movie and like, they love it. And I'm like, it's just like a charcuterie board. But I'm like, but for me, I also don't have to cook dinner. And I can just put out all of these random things and my kids will actually eat it because I have two very picky eaters. So I'm like, I can put things on their plate that they'll eat and they're going to have a great time. And I'm like, this is so amazing. So sometimes it's like, it's going to feel really dumb. And you're going to feel really silly when you start to do it because you're like, this is so stupid. Like, why am I even doing it? Like, it's a charcuterie board for my kids, but they go crazy. And I think I was having this conversation with a friend of mine and I was like, it's kind of bringing back like that childhood fun. Cause like as an adult, like I feel for me, it's kind of hard to be fun as a parent because I'm a mom and I have like responsibilities and I'm like an adult and I'm like, but I miss being fun. Like I want to have fun and I want to do all of these things. And so I think sometimes it's just going back and being like, yeah, we can totally have a charcuterie board and we can put chocolate all over it and marshmallows and dip. And like, I think it's just going back to that little childhood. Like, I want to bring that fun back into being an adult, that like I can have fun and we can have like, and it has nothing to do with like, you know, sometimes it feels like you, but you have responsibilities now. You need to be like, you know, professional or whatever. And I'm like, but I want to be fun. I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm, you know, just black and white. Like, no, let's bring some color back into motherhood, whatever that looks like for you, or even adulthood. Like, let's bring back that fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think people are always forging forward into the next thing, yeah. right? Like, they don't celebrate what they have accomplished. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, I've checked this box. Now what's next?
Yes.
And they don't have that time to be like, no, like, I'm going to actually take myself out and have a drink because yes. this is what I accomplished. It's
absolutely.
Like, when you forget to enjoy those tiny little things, you know, and we're all guilty. I'm guilty of it, where it's just like, nope, I don't have time. Like, I'm focused on this and this is what's next and this, you know, but it's like, all right, okay, do something else that makes, you know, you feel you, or
absolutely.
Reach out to somebody and be like, oh my gosh, like, you should feel joyous about the accomplishments, but you should also be vocal about when it's hard.
Yes.
Because those hard times also make the joyous parts really freaking cool too.
Totally. And we've started to do that, especially with our autistic son. And I think that's kind of where it was a turning point for me. Like, as he's been in therapy, like, celebrating the fact that, like, he, like, touched peanut butter without freaking out. He's very sensory. Like, he's sensory seeking, but he's very sensory sensitive. And so, like, and every single week, like, he has therapy once a week. And so, like, and we clap and we cheer even at the smallest things because I know for him, it makes him feel so good. Like when he's using those scissors and he's cutting and he's trying so hard and then he gets done, we are clapping, we are cheering, and he gets into it too. And then it makes him want to do it again.
Yep.
And then it makes him want to do it more. And it makes him want to try harder because we are those celebrating. And we, you know, we don't make a big deal when he doesn't work. We're there to help him. We're there to help him and we're there to like cheer on and we're there to go to the next thing. So I think it's just also, again, recognizing like, gosh, look at, you know, what happens when we do celebrate those things with our kids, like stepping back and being like, you touched peanut butter today without completely freaking out. And then now he's completely covering himself with paint when literally like a year ago, it would have caused like a 15-minute meltdown. And so a lot of the times too, we want those results right away. We want to see that progress because we've been trying so freaking hard. We just want to see the fruits of our labors, and it's there. It's all there, but we're just so ready for that end result. And when you look at it, like it took, I was thinking about that like this last week. I was like, it has been a year. It's taken us a year to get where we are with our son. And it's going to take another year to make more progress. But in the meantime, every single week, like we are working so hard in therapy, and he's come so far, but it's taken a year just to get to the fact that like he can put paint on his hands and not freak out. And he can now communicate with more than one word. And so, but we so desperately just want it to be like a light switch moment. But I'm like, it's going to be a really long sunrise. It's going to take that gradual light to come on. And it, a lot of the times, I don't think we step back and appreciate those sunsets and those sunrises because it's like, oh my gosh, this is taking for a freaking ever. Like, will you just come up already? Like, I want to be able to turn the light switch on. I want to be able to do the things. I want to see what I'm doing. But it does not work that way. Especially when you're parenting special needs kids, especially when you are a parent and you've got these small children, like it just doesn't work. So it's getting down and recognizing like, I need to take a step back and I need to actually teach you how to do it instead of just flipping the light switch on and expecting you to be able to do it.
Yeah. And I think it's that teaching part, right? Like we don't know what we don't know. And if we don't know it, then the younger generations probably don't know it. Like they're not stupid. They're not dumb. They're like, they're none of these words. Like they probably haven't had somebody to take the 5 minutes to explain it.
Yes.
They just say, oh, well, you don't know. I'm going to move on.
Right.
It's like, how about you stop for a second and you show them how to do it and teach them how to do it instead of expect them to just know how to do it. Because
absolutely,
in my career, that's not, like, I have to educate myself.
Totally.
You have to keep training. You have to keep learning.
Yes.
Like, life is about learning.
Yes.
And not just knowing.
Absolutely. And all of my kids, I also had this vision. I'm like, all of my kids are going to be, like, exactly the same. And I'm just going to be able to parent them all the same. No, 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 no. All four of my kids are drastically different. So not like, so I have to like step back and teach my daughter this one way because she is very literal and she is very black and white. So I'm like, okay, we have to make checklists. We have to break it down step by step. You can't use sarcasm. You can't use all of these things when you're teaching her. And so it's also helping others to recognize, okay, like when you're teaching her this, you need to like be very literal with her. You have to like be slow and make sure she understands. With my other like kiddos, I'm like, you make it fun. You make it funny. You know, you teach them this way and they're going to get it and so on and so forth. So that's also like, oh, but again, it's being able to like get out of your own way and to recognize that like, oh my gosh, like I have to teach my kids all very differently. But then I think I appreciate it more because then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, like you have to learn this way because this is how your brain works. This is how your brain is wired. But then because my daughter and I are so similar, I'm like, I need to do that. Like, I need to do that too. Like, this was a teaching moment for myself because I should probably step back more and not be so much in a rush and not be so much just trying to do it all. And no, like I can take a step back. I can breathe. I can take a second to try and figure this out and not, you know, get so frustrated and not be able to complete the task. Like, oh, so a lot of the times it's this back and forth moment like, oh, you're going to teach me something? Cool. Can I teach you something? Like it's so much back and forth instead of just one-sided. But it feels, you know, we're kind of taught that it's just one-sided. You're the parent. They're the child. This is how it goes. This is how we have to do these things.
Yeah. And I think especially when there's like disruption and you're like, no, listen to me because I'm the parent. It's like I said, I don't have children, but I've that's happened to me. And I've also heard that with very many people. And it's like, well, why do you think that you're any better because you're the parent?
Yeah.
It's like, how about you step back for a second as well? Yes. And like, you know, even being, I'm still the child, right? We're still children of our parents and they're still children of their parents.
Right.
And it's just this generational, like, growing, you know? And it's like, I have my own life. They have their own life. My siblings have their own lives. You know, like, we're individual people.
Totally.
And I think it doesn't matter what your title is. We're all humans. And if we are open to learning.
Yes.
Forget the titles.
Yes.
Forget the labels.
That is something, too, that, like, I'm also really trying to, like, more push on my page. I'm like, I just want to educate because I feel like a lot of the past generations, it's harder for them to kind of just see new ways and that, like, these kids struggle. Like, I was talking about, like, my son, my 4-year-old, who is very, very picky, and I have to take the crust off of his bread. Like, that's just what we do in order for him to actually put something in his belly. And I had so many comments of, like, nope, we don't have picky eaters in our house. You eat what you eat. We put it on your plate. And it's just all of this generational trauma that is just put on each next generation. And I'm like, that doesn't work for our family. And I want to break that. And I'm like, my kids aren't entitled. I'm not raising them to be like bratty people, but I know that's how it's perceived, that I'm giving in or, you know, that I'm like meeting their needs. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to freaking meet their needs because my needs weren't met as a child because that's what we were taught. You figure it out on your own. And I'm like, no, if my child has a need that needs to be met and he can't communicate it, you sure as hell bet that I am going to find a way to meet that need in order for him to thrive right now in this phase that we're in. And as he gets older, we hope to teach him and help him grow. But I think I just want to help educate moms now and other generations that, like, it is not one size fits all and that there are so many things that we can continue to learn and that I think helps us as parents because we get a lot of that shame and judgment from family and other generations. And then it makes it hard to be like, but I want to do it this way because this way works for my family. I can't do it that way because it just doesn't work. But we were taught, and that's what we see so often. It's hard to kind of break away from that. It's hard to set that boundary and be like, you know what? This just does not work for me. It's a no. It's a no from me. This is not what we're going to do. I'm so glad that worked for you. It just does not work for me. And it, again, it's really hard and scary to, like, kind of break away from that. But then I think that it's also so incredibly powerful and it gives moms the encouragement that they need to also break away and to also make that change that is so desperately needed for their family or to get the help that their kids need and be like, you know what? I actually think that we need to do something here. There is something that's not being met and I actually do need help and to be able to have that courage to do that.
How is it with as many followers that you have on social media and always their 2 cents being put in?
It's funny. A lot of the times I just have to laugh because it's just so crazy that so many people will make a judgment or have something to say based off of like a 15, 30 second clip. I'm like, you would make such a harsh comment or judgment based off something that was so very small. And I try to be like as, you know, descriptive in what I'm talking about. Like I give a lot of context. And 90, I would say a lot of my followers know our story and are here on this journey with us. I think it's, you know, every now and then you get this person who is just, they're just so narrow-minded and I just have to laugh. I don't have a very thick skin and you think that I would having special needs kids and, you know, being on social media all the time. But I'm like, there are every now and then you just get someone who says something and you're just like, gosh, dang it. Like, people can just be so mean. But then you get the messages of the moms who were like, you have no idea how much you've helped me. And then you're like, okay, okay. So I think a lot of the times the good outweighs the bad, but the bad still stings because you then overthink and you're like, well, like, should I even be sharing this? Should I even be talking about this? Because, you know, there are a lot of people who think that like what I am doing is absolutely ridiculous and that they would never do that with their kids or their family, or they would never, you know, share this part of their life. But I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'm going to break the mold because I can't not.
Yeah. It hurts worse to not break it than to break it.
Yes. I can't stay silent. Like, I can't not talk about it because I know that like I was suffering in silence for so long because I had a hard time seeing myself or finding people who felt the same way that I did. And so I finally just had to, and it's really just been amazing to meet other women who felt the exact same way. And sometimes it does take that one person who opens up their mouth, who shares that story, who shares the fact that she's sobbing in her car because she just doesn't know what the hell she's doing and that she's really struggling. It's those Me Too moments that I think we're seeing a lot more of on social media because we are just craving it. We just want to feel like we're not alone and that we're doing okay in whatever we're doing. We just want to feel seen in whatever capacity that we're doing.
Yeah. Tell us how we can find you on social media.
So I'm primarily on Instagram, just Katie McCarty. I'm on Instagram. And I'm on Facebook too, which has been quite an interesting endeavor. I want to say I like TikTok, but I we're getting there, but mostly Instagram.
Do you help teach other moms? Is it just you sharing your information?
So the ultimate goal is to do more teaching. I do a lot of like just like everyday life on Instagram. And so a lot of it is just sharing because I think that's where it starts. And then I hope to grow it more.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, I appreciate you coming on and just being able to share your story. And I think I definitely feel you on the fact that if you can't find it, then you should be it, you know, and there's got to be one person that opens their mouth and it gets to be people like us.
Yes.
So I appreciate you coming on and I will have all your information in the show notes. So listeners, if you would love to reach out to her, see how she's parenting. I just request, you know, like you had said, like no judgment. We only know a fraction of people's lives. And I will say
DMs are always open. Like I'm always open to have conversations or to just, you know, be in the moment with you. Like that's what I love to do too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listeners, thank you again for coming another week and hearing another story. And I just absolutely love hearing things like this and how people have stepped up in their own lives. So if you would like to reach me, definitely go to rawthoughtspodcast.com. You can send me a message on there. You can find all my Instagram, social media, Facebook, and then also all of our past guests, as well as, like I said, send me a message. So make sure that you like and subscribe to the show, and we will see you next week for yet another episode. And thank you, Katie, again.
Thank you.
Yes. Bye, guys. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.